It's the Bone Real Raw Radio. We love music. We hope you do, too. JP and I both got to talk to Steve Perry from Journey yesterday morning. Here's his new song. Check out a few minutes of this. Yeah, come on. 2 minutes, maybe. It's called No Erase. That's the Don't Stop Believing guy. Steve Perry, the original lead singer of Journey before Arnell, who tours with them now for a long time. But Steve Perry has been in, not hiding, but he's been very quiet and out of the public eye for a while. And we got to talk to him for quite a while. So here is our talk with Steve Perry. It's really like, he's a pretty cool guy. And if you like Journey, you're going to love this interview. Here is, JP came into work yesterday just for this interview to do it. Here's Steve Perry on the phone. Yeah, Roger and JP.
Hi, Steve Perry here. How you doing?
Oh, it's Steve right away. We thought we were just getting like a warning that you were coming up in two minutes or something.
I do all my own dialing, Roger.
That's awesome.
Look at that. Hey, man, congratulations.
Thank you.
Congrats. Welcome back. It's
Thank you.
Really, really cool to have you back.
Yeah, it's good to hear you and good to hear your voice. And I think you're a guy who inspires happiness, so it's good to have you around again after, you were a little quiet for a while, as you said.
I was a little quiet for a while. I kind of left the building, as they used to say.
You know what's funny is that, like, you were able to chum the waters very... I don't even think you meant to, but it'd be like, oh, Steve's singing, take me out to the ball game at a Giants game.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, is he going back into the studio? Is he going to do a new record?
Yeah,
is he
going? I mean, it was actually me falling back into my life. I'm going to baseball games in the summertime. I go to the fair because it comes once a year.
Right.
I go to movies. I go on road trips, you know. I was just living life on life's terms, you know?
Yeah, but that's got to be, it's got to be a burden, yet really awesome to know that the minute people see your face or hear your voice or you do something, they're clamoring for you. But like I said, a burden and a blessing.
Well,
is that a good description?
A burden and a blessing. It's interesting because I probably was oblivious to both of those classifications, because in order for me to leave such an amazing band in an amazing time in music where we were still selling out stadiums, because I was so burnt and I was out of my passion for music, it was like it was just wrung out like a sponge that was just dry. I had to just stop. So that's more of what really happened. And when I fell back into my real life, that was where the uncomfortable feeling came, because I didn't have the adoration every night, the applause. I was no longer on a stage. These are things I dreamt about having since I was a little kid.
Right.
The music.
And then you got them.
And then I got him.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I was really worried, because my love for music, my passion for it, had left me. And it was kind of hard to explain. I've been doing radio now for a little bit. It's kind of hard to explain that when you're just singing, but you don't feel connected to something, like it's not coming from somewhere it used to come from. It just becomes a bit of a parody, I guess, of yourself. Can't do it.
Steve, is there a point when you look back, where you look back at the Journey albums, where you felt that passion leave? Can you identify where that happened?
It wasn't the records. It was on tour.
Yeah.
And at the end of that tour, I got together with Neil and Jonathan, and I sat by this part of the bay, and I said, I just can't do it anymore. They said, what? I just got to stop. I just don't want to do this anymore, and I got to go into my normal, old-fashioned life that doesn't have rock star or whatever that is attached to it.
Right.
And you said you're playing stadiums. These guys must have, their jaws must have been on the floor.
Well, it was not a popular idea for them, nor was it a kind idea for the fans that for years had loved and supported this music, it was painful for me to walk away from that guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I felt a sense of obligation
right.
to how much they had given us, you know. People think, oh, you guys have given us so much. No, the fans yeah. have given us so much, you know. They voted us in their hearts, so to speak. And what? And I'm going to walk away? But I had to. I just had to.
Like, there's times when you just get fried. And if you don't walk away, listen, I'm somebody who has spent a very large portion of my life dealing with anxiety, panic attacks, depression, all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you don't get into self-protective mode, you can go too far with it. You can curl up and then disappear and then everybody thinks you're ready to kill yourself. Or you can just pull away and go into self-protective mode.
Well, you just said it. Fried is a really good analogy.
Yeah.
I was totally deep fried. I mean,
It's got to be. I can't imagine what it's like being on that hamster wheel.
Yeah. But look, I'm not. I just want to make something clear. I'm not complaining.
No, I'm not complaining.
I'm just saying it came to the edge to where in those days, in the 80s, there was a few reaching outside of myself for some inspirational behaviors, dare I say?
Yep.
I guess, yeah. Okay, that was the times and those inspirational...
Understood. All right.
Yeah, okay. Those bad behaviors started to show up more and more. That's not going to fill the hole. In fact, when those bad behaviors weren't there, it was worse. So I had to stop.
Steve, I had a very, I think, personal moment with you in maybe 94 when you put out your solo album.
Wait a minute, hold on. Were we naked?
No.
Okay.
No. Hey, listen, not that there's anything wrong with that. Not that there's anything wrong with that these days.
So we're naked, and you start singing Love and Touch and Squeezing to Me, and I said, wait a minute, Steve.
No, so what happened really?
No, so it was when For the Love of Strange Medicine came out.
Yeah.
And you looked at me, and I don't remember if we were on the air or off the air. You were in the studio with me, though. And you said, you know, it got to a point, and you were talking about exactly what you're talking about now.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, it got to a point where I became afraid of the fans. I would do a meet and greet, and I was worried that someone might actually, like, stab me.
Well,
do you remember saying that or thinking that?
I don't remember that. See, that's how fried I was. I don't remember that.
Yeah, and so it really, like, when this came out and I saw, like, your quotes about Kelly saying to you, promising that you would not keep yourself isolated anymore, I said, that's the isolation I know why you went into isolation from what you said to me, that if you had that fear, I don't know if it gets labeled as a phobia, but you can totally understand it.
Well, again, what contributes to a phobia? I mean, is it a lack of sleep? Is it touring all the time? Is it never stopping?
Is it all of it?
Is it begging the management to open the routing up so you can get more time between?
Yeah.
That would help. But, you know, at those times, it was just a train, a runaway train, and you were along for the ride, and I had to get off.
And you guys were so big, and all of that was on your shoulders. I know the whole band, but you were Steve Perry.
Right.
Well, I
feel like it's all
singers,
on your head.
You know, all due respect to everyone's creative talents. If you have fingers and you're playing frets on a guitar or frets on a bass or keyboard instruments on the piano or drumsticks in your hand, those are great instruments, but when it comes to a voice, there is no instrument. It's you. It's just you. It's not your vocal box.
Right.
Like, oh, he's got a great voice. No, when you wake up tired, you didn't sleep much, you didn't maybe sing as softly as you should the night before, and you might have borrowed a little bit from yesterday for today. Now you don't have as much. You didn't drink enough water. I mean, you name it. It's so finicky that it could become maddening.
You know, moving forward to where we are now, you got the solo record out, coming out. And
yes, it's coming out October 5th, Traces.
You know, yes. And we heard the first song. Roger said, how did he make a song where most of it doesn't rhyme? But you definitely did not.
It's very personal.
You know, Kelly told you to get back into it or, you know, and bring your music back out for yourself and the people. And you chose to do it, but you did not do it the easy way. The easy way would have been calling the Journey guys up and putting that back together, and boom, immediately it's arenas sold out around the world. It's an album, it's downloads, it's purchases, it's you know, it's all that other stuff. you, this is not the easy way. I give you a lot of credit.
Yeah, putting yourself out there, just you.
A lot of credit.
Well, because I'll tell you why. When music did return to my heart, it became a deep commitment to how am I going to do this? Do I stay focused and true to that? Do I just get some great players I've always wanted to work with and get them in there, like Josh Fries on drums, Vinny Galluto on drums, Steve Perroni, Pino Palladino on bass.
I noticed no Irish guys.
They can't play.
Those Irish guys got no rhythm.
So you have your solo album coming out in October. So, I guess we're obligated because the fans would kill us if we didn't ask you. You have your solo going, but in the future, I mean, are you and the guys talking? Is there a possibility in the future? Is there something like that? Because you would go right back, it seems like, to stadiums again.
You want to know the truth. If that hasn't happened by now, I wouldn't hold your breath. Right? Seriously.
Yeah.
After 30 years of being gone, it probably would have happened by now.
Mm-hmm.
My thinking is it took forever for me to get my passion back that I found when I was 5 years old for music. I had lost it. I was willing to never look back and sing again for the rest of my life. If music was to return to my heart, so be it. I'll deal with it then. If not, I'd already lived the dreams of dreams. So
right.
I figured I'm just going to move into my life and finish out my life like everyone else, you know, going to the fair in the summertime and going to movies and just living life. But it came back. So to me, personally, this is a very big deal to me in my life, and it's sustaining me now, and it's very important.
You know, you're either the most grounded individual I've ever met in my life, or your shrink is a miracle worker.
I didn't tell you. I got my PhD psychologist degree while I was gone.
I bet you did.
Yeah. I'm sitting there going, like, my God, because, you know, I've just...
Yeah, he's on target.
Yeah.
Steve,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
How does it feel seeing Don't Stop Believing blow up the way it has?
Well,
and probably subsequently everything in the Journey catalog and everything Steve Perry solo, just it follows in a ripple effect. What is that like? You're in 2018. It feels like it's 30 years ago.
What's funny about that is honestly, we never really anticipated any of these songs having the timeless longevity that they've had. I mean, every one of them got the same attention, whether it was Journey music or me doing Oh Sherry or Foolish Heart or Strung Out on my solo stuff.
Yep.
They all got the same attention that the songs deserved. And so they're all like your children, you know, which ones do you murder, your darlings, you know?
Right.
I mean, so they belong to you personally, so there's a personal thing about it.
Mm.
But I guess over time, certain ones, like Don't Stop Believing, have just decided to have this relationship with a certain number of fans that it's just unstoppable. And, of course, The Sopranos really helped, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I got to give credit to Patty Jenkins, who started the whole connection with Don't Stop Believing with the movie Monster with Charlize Theron in the skating rink scene. She came to me and asked for that, and I thought that was one of the most beautiful uses I'd ever seen. And from that point on, it went to the Real OC. It became sporting events for the, for the White Sox.
Every stadium.
It started going everywhere. And then it continued to grow and then ended up, of course, on the closing segment of the Sopranos.
Yeah. And now that you've been linked with sporting events and moments, it's never going to stop.
Well, that wouldn't be so bad.
No, right? You're right. It's not bad. And I have to ask you because, you know, when people imitate you, starting out, Don't Stop Believing. Do you know everybody says Yusta, small town girl, when they do it? Yusta. Did you say the J, or is it just so hidden there? Because that's how people imitate it.
Well, that's interesting. That's one of my vocal characterizations, I think you might call it. It's also a way for me to, what I used to call is a slightly color the vowels that I have to sing in a way that worked for me personally. And so I do stuff like that out of necessity and also out of character. It's just something I love to do. I think it's just me.
Yeah.
And I kind of find that out later after I sing. I find things I do instinctually like that. And people think I have this calculated approach to it. There are benefits to it when you color a vowel.
Mm-hmm.
To where it fits in the back of your throat a little easier than doing it another way. You're going to do it a better way.
Yeah, it's funny. Last summer I came in, and I guess it was over the weekend or during the day. It was a beautiful day, and only the young came on my play my phone. Yeah. Like I had, you know, I was right, and it's na 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 na. I'm like, what the f- did he say?
I was in any town.
Yeah, well, yes. You know, it took me 20 times to listen to it in the car. I still had no idea what you were talking about. To the point where we came in the next day, and I did it. We did it on the air. I'm like, somebody tell me what he's saying.
Yeah, and everybody's in any town. Yeah. You can hear the thunder of their cry.
Yeah, there okay. It is.
Well, I got news for you. That's not what it sounds like.
You see, if you talk it, it doesn't sound worth the crap.
No, but you talked it out. It sounded. Right. I mean, I just heard you say the lyrics. I'm like, I mean, listen to Steve Perry. Right. Speak his lyrics. I love this.
Right. He's just saying, he's like, yeah, another night and anytime you can hear the thunder of their cries. And I go, oh, well, that makes sense, yeah. But when you sing it, it doesn't sound like that.
Well, yeah, because you have to get all those vowels have to hand off to the next vowel.
That's right.
The next vowel has to hand off to the next vowel. You know, it's just like one linear thing.
Mm-hmm. But you know what's funny? What the great part about that is if I'm you and with my sixth sense of humor, like I'm hearing somebody telling me this, I would get off on the people mouthing all the wrong words, like where they're driving, like if it's that song that hits them in the right way and they turn the radio up and they're just windows down, going top down, whatever, everybody mouthing the wrong words would make me so happy.
Well, have you guys heard No Erasing yet? Have you heard the song?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what Raj said. He says, how do you make a song with nothing rhymes?
But clear as could be.
But clear as could be.
I think.
Good. So you can hear the lyrics on No Erasing.
Oh, no question. No question about that.
Good. Do you get? I would make sure.
Yeah, no, you're good. No, you're crystal.
Are you nervous?
Nervous about what?
The record and how it'll be received or what? It doesn't matter. You just got it on your system.
I'm not nervous about it at all. I'm committed to the emotion that it gave me, and whatever it makes people feel. I just want to thank them for listening to it. And
right.
If you like it, great. If you don't, I still don't. I still want to thank you for listening to it.
Are you going
to
go on the road with it?
Well, you know, the road is something we've talked about,
mm-hmm.
But right now that's probably a conversation to be had at some later date. We're just talking about the fact that, look, I was never going to do this again, guys.
And, right.
I was really worked hard. I was really at a point where I was kind of okay with that. I mean, I stayed away a long time. I must have been okay with that, you know? And I'm not trying to be Mr.
Well,
Money. I don't need the money.
Right.
I'm okay. I already eat too damn much. So, you know, I can only drive one car at a time.
Right.
So what do I need? I just need some peace of mind. And so I really didn't have any reason to come back except if music showed up again. Oh, there it is. So I started writing, and now I've got a lot of songs.
Like I said, you're either the most grounded individual on the planet, or your shrink is just amazing. One thing before we end up, before we have to go, I wanted to talk to you about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
You handled that like a gentleman. Like, you had the ability right then and there to take that band back if you wanted it. You had it. I mean, you probably have it on more than one occasion, but in the public eye, you had the opportunity to not only just... If you would have sang with that band, the pressure, the clamoring would have all been right there again.
Yeah.
The way you handed the torch off to Arnell,
yeah,
I mean, that's gentleman stuff.
But he's the singer in the band. He's a great kid.
Yes, he is.
He's been there for 10 years. It's none of my business to be stepping into his gig. It really isn't.
Nor is it your personality, it sounds like.
Well, right. And it isn't. Because, but look, let's look at it for a second. This guy is obviously... out of some beautiful fan kind of reverence for years been singing my music, and he's been trying to sound like me because he's a passion for it. Mm. Well, he's in the band. It's a dream come true gig for him, and I respect the fact that he's singing his ass off every night for those guys.
Right.
And I know how difficult, now we're talking singer to singer.
Mm-hmm.
I know how difficult that is. I was there, too. It ain't easy. So my hat's off to Arnell, because he's busting his butt every night and singing his heart out every night. He's been doing it for 10 years. And
you handled it like a champ. You really did.
Yeah, really, really cool. And did your eyes roll in the back of your head like his does when he sings your stuff?
It freaks me out. If you ever look close, when he's...
That's what it takes to sing your stuff.
When he's going for that note, there's a thing where his eyes kind of roll back and you just see the whites.
Oh, no, I've not seen that.
Dude, it freaks me out. Like, when he first got with the band, they were doing some Super Bowl weekend Bud Light party zone kind of thing, and it was on television, and I'm like, I can't watch it. I couldn't lie. It freaked me out because you just saw the whites of his eyes. I'm like, oh,
but
my God,
know,
he's a demon.
He's a great kid. Yeah. I mean,
absolutely.
Harry was my road manager at that point. We lost Harry last year, but Harry was our road manager, and he organized it for me, and we were backstage, and Harry comes up and says, Steve, can I talk to you for a second? Yeah, he closes the door. He says, Arnell's running up and down the hallway, and, you know, he wants to know where you are. He's standing outside the door. What should I do? I said, well, I'll come out. So I came out and met him and talked to him, and we had a little hug moment. It was really great. He's a great kid. Listen, they're giving me, I got to go.
All right.
I got to go.
No worries, Steve. Thank you so much
for
your time.
Steve Perry, so happy to talk to you. Thank you for your honesty and your introspection and really just bearing your soul in the few moments we had. And good luck with the solo album.
The album Traces comes out in October. Good luck, man.
Hey, thank you so much. If you guys ever feel a little blue and you need somebody to talk to, I got a couch you can give me. I got my PhD psychologist.
We heard it's a well-worn couch. What do you think?
Do you take insurance? Is
question. Yeah, I'll work that out while I'm gone. Okay.
Take care, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
Take care.
Take care, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Steve Perry, lead singer of Journey. We talked to him yesterday morning and figured he's pretty big. You may want to hear him. And this is his, there's a little piece of his new song called No Erasing. What a good guy, huh?
Out of all the interviews you've done in your radio career, where does that rank?
Top five. Maybe top three. Seriously.
You guys asked great questions, and he was awesome with his response.
He was awesome.
He was so good.
And that's honestly, that's a lot of the interviews go well because the person is so good, like him. He's just a great interview, I guess. Now check this out here. Of Journey fame, who's solo. He's not going back with the band. He said if it hasn't happened in 30 years, it's probably not going to happen. So that kind of sucks for Journey fans, but you still have Journey touring as they are, and you have Steve Perry doing solo stuff. And he's still got a voice. Listen to him. Hope you liked it. Roger and JP, 102.5 The Bone, Real Raw Radio.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.